But you see, cultural difference in the judgments in Jesus' own people, the wisdom was coming out of him, the mighty works they said that we've heard he's done. But they couldn't, it didn't matter what he said, it didn't matter what they're seeing, they could not get beyond the condition of their own hearts. A very, very strong judgment on the inside. When you believe something very, very strongly and you believe you're right, then our heart becomes exalted and we're sensitive to ourselves, but we're insensitive to him. But we're very, very sensitive to us because we've got the evidence, we've got the proof, a human judgment, human perspective on how we see things. You see what I'm saying? And Jesus, his response was a very healthy response. It's the same response with the centurion. It's only recorded in the Word of God that he marveled two times. Once was a man of great faith, and here, because of their unbelief, he marveled. That is a very healthy response because, you see, Jesus, his self-worth was in the Father. It didn't matter what the people, how they were accepting him, how they were rejecting him. It didn't matter. His self-worth was in the Father. He just marveled at their unbelief because, you see, they didn't realize how much they were limiting God in their midst working through Jesus. He just marveled. That's a very healthy response because he didn't take it personal. He could see very, very clearly the condition of their hearts. He saw very clearly. Why? But you see, this woman in this situation, the way she responded, send her away for she cries after us. I mean, she's getting double rejection here. He said, I've only been sent to the lost sheep of Israel. Send her away. And then the scripture says in verse 25, then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. The scripture records that as worship. She said, Lord, look how she's relating to Jesus. I mean, she's been ignored. She's been now openly rejected with words. How many people could even go past step one of being ignored and not have an offense or not feel some type of emotion or pain or hurt? And then on top of that, to be with words spoken directly against you? Hey, you're the wrong culture, honey. You're not a Jew. No acceptance for you. It's like, I mean, some people, that would have been enough. Maybe an attitude would have come out of them like, who do you think you are? You Jews, you always think you're the best. You just think you got God alone by yourself. I mean, all these kind of issues and attitudes and words could just fly out of a person when deep within their heart there are issues. There are judgments. But suddenly, it's just like you can't hold it in anymore because it's like, man, that's it. This has gone too far. Who do you think you are? I mean, if your pastor did that on top of ignoring and you saw it, and now he's not just ignoring the kids. It's just like you're rejecting the kids openly, speaking directly. I mean, or at a person, I'm just kidding. But you know, I mean, you might sit there and go, what has happened to our pastor? I mean, who does he think he is? It's like, where's the love of God in that? I mean, you might think all kinds of thoughts on why he's doing what he's doing. Might go beyond what he's doing, and you might form many judgments within your heart on the reason why he's doing it. It's when we go beyond the actual facts that we get into trouble. God alone answers why. God knows all things. He knows men's hearts. He knows us better than we know ourselves, even ourselves. But when we judge without the wisdom, without hearing his voice, but we make a human judgment, it's when we get into trouble. That's when we take hold of our problems. Why they got a hold of us? Because we got a hold of them. Walking free of judgments is a place of peace, with peace in your heart. The peace of God will work on the inside of you, rule and reign, and guard and protect your heart. It protects, as Philippians chapter 4, verse 7 says, guard your heart and guard your mind. It protects the very two areas that need to be protected, the heart and the mind, the beliefs and the thoughts, because the thoughts can form judgments, beliefs within your heart and what truth is to you. That's the two areas you want protected in life so that you can so sensitive to the Lord that you can hear his voice. You can find truth in Jesus. You can let Jesus show what the truth is and not rush to judgment. But walk in peace. My. But you see how this woman responded. I mean, look at the condition of her heart. The way she worshiped, saying, Lord, help me. She's not just asking for help. It's how she's relating to Jesus. Lord. The place of prominence that she's putting him in and who he is and how she's relating to him. It doesn't matter what's coming out of him. You see, this is a mother coming for her daughter, and look how focused she is. Nothing's stopping her. No issue is stopping her. There's nothing. Look how pure her heart is. See, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, blessed are the pure and heart, for they shall see God. That word to see from the Greek language means to have God's perspective. In other words, to see with the eyes of the heart. It's your perspective. It's seeing with understanding. It's your ability to see it from God's perspective, that lose that human perspective. But the word there where it's talking about blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The word pure, though, you're only pure when there's no admixture. It doesn't matter. It doesn't mean you don't have information. It doesn't mean you don't know what's going on. That woman lived in that culture. And let me tell you, if Jesus would have done this probably to someone else in that culture, maybe even one of the men, it's like, that's it. This is fighting words. It's like you might have an attitude come out of someone in a hurry, treating them that way in that culture, because they've always been put down by those that think they're better and think they're superior, and talk down to them and treat them like they have no worth and have no value in how they relate to them. And so they are already very, very sensitive. My, and how they relate. I can give you many examples of that culturally, how they relate. But you see, in this situation, though, it's how the woman's responding. Look at the condition of her heart. Look how pure her heart is, because you see, an admixture is like this. I had a bottle of water, but it's empty now. But the bottle of water used to have just plain water, but then I squeezed a lemon and put a lemon in there. When I put a lemon in the water and squeezed the lemon juice and put it in there, there was an admixture. Something from the outside came in. The moment for something from the outside came in, then, okay, you can still kind of see through it because it's just lemon juice now. It's just water with lemon juice. You can still see through it, but not as easy and not as clear as when it was water. But pour coffee in there. And the moment you pour coffee into that water, then depending on the strength of the coffee and how much you pour in there will determine exactly how you can see. Because the condition of your heart is going to determine your perspective. When we see from a human perspective, when we hold on to our issues and life's about us instead of finding our life in Christ, and Colossians 3:4 says, He is our life. I'm telling you, as Christians, we need to find our life in Him instead of ourselves. Put our eyes on Him. Start to establish the goodness of God within our heart, instead of letting bad determine what is truth and reality to our heart. There needs to be a difference between us and how we relate to life. The love of God, a revelation of His love to the point that it changes the way we relate to life, how we relate with each other. There should be a difference. There should be an image, a reflection of something. This woman, look at the condition of her heart, how she's relating. She can relate to Jesus under rejection, being rejected, and call Him Lord, and fall at His feet and call Him Lord. Help me. And isn't it interesting that the Scriptures recounted that as worship? That's called worship. Isn't that interesting? Just a very few words. We think worship sometimes is like you go for 30 minutes or an hour, so to speak, a length of time. But it's more of the condition of the heart. It's what's coming out of the heart and how you're relating. But it says this. But Jesus, at this point, He said, but answered and said, it's not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to the dogs. And one translation says even little dogs. Not even a big dog. I mean, just little. It's like, I mean, at this point, if you thought something, look, you would have thought that would have been enough, the testing of the heart. But look how Jesus, her heart has been tested and how He's relating here. He's calling her a dog. But look how she's responding with the condition of her heart. There's no attitude coming out of her. She knows all these issues. She knows the way that people in her culture, the way they've been treated. But this woman is different. Look how pure her heart is. Look how different she is. Look how she stands out from among the people and how it's just like the beauty of what's on the inside of her. I'm telling you that because of Christ in us, the hope of glory that dwells on the inside of us, man, the life of Christ that dwells within us, I'm telling you what, when a heart changes and we stop limiting Jesus, there's just a beauty. There's an image, a reflection of Christ that people are able to see instead of our flesh. It's Jesus they need, not us. Yeah. And the answer is found in looking at Him, not looking at ourselves and fixing ourselves. We can experience any change whatsoever because there's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus, as long as we can take our eyes off ourselves and look at Him and feel completely loved and accepted with no rejection whatsoever. We can resolve any issue of the heart whatsoever because, you see, we can do the opposite of Adam and Eve. We can go to Him, not hide in shame, but go to Him, not away from Him. But you see, this woman, the way she responded, then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Because she said, truth, Lord, Isn't that interesting? It's interesting that she's not even debating the facts of what he's saying coming out of his mouth. There's no debate. You ever tried to lead someone to the Lord in a debate? Argue with someone, in other words, about Jesus? See, I got a friend, and I think I should maybe Saturday morning shared this, but that I went to years ago, because you see, he had three children born with cerebral palsy. That is a major challenge, and there's nobody in the area of the country he was living that believed the way. And so I had some time free, so I went to him. I flew out to where he's at and spent time with him. And you see, the change that came as he began to experience the Holy Spirit because of within him. He could have consumed his heart with the severity of the problem because they're his kids, not someone else's kids. But instead, he began to experience change over time, experiencing Jesus in such a personal way and experiencing the Holy Spirit to the point that he began to change. He began to get results. He began to see not only his children change, he began to get other people healed. And he began to have more and more results to the point that within his heart, he realized that, you know what, I can't relate to my own children like this. It's impossible because of the severity of their bodies. Because we're not just talking about healing, we're talking about physical deformities in the body. They can't even walk, they crawl. The physical deformities of their body and their bones. The way in that situation he chose to relate is this. No, that it's a lie. That's not impossible. He chose to believe the impossible to the point that he trained himself to be bold. He trained himself to reach out to people in prayer and pray for people every time there was a problem. And if he didn't respond correctly, and let me tell you, he established a ministry relationship correctly because he was respectful to people and the way he related, and so that they were willing to allow him to pray. And he began to practice on people, and he began to get results. And that boldness, stepping out. Let me tell you, it's good to get out of the boat and walk on water. It's better than staying in the boat and watching someone else walk on water. It's a choice we make all the time. But he decided, it's like, they're my kids, they're not someone else's kids. There's nobody around here coming around me like Cecil did. It's like, you know what? He had to take responsibility and experience change for the benefit of his own children. And he began to experience the Holy Spirit to the point that I'll share this testimony. There's a lot I'm going to share, but I'll share this testimony. But it's one I shared the other day about two atheists. He got healed. And he never debated. He never argued with them. But, you see, they were willing to let him pray. And when they changed, it's like, I can't believe this. I just can't believe this. Unbelievers don't even believe in Jesus. But, you see, he gave them a practical demonstration of Jesus. He showed them Jesus in such a personal, practical way. It's just like, healed, wham. They can't deny. It's like, they were saying, I can't believe it. It's gone. And that first atheist, it was either months or weeks or months, whatever it was, came back later because, you see, he had two children, and it turned out that the doctor said, your baby is deaf. He can't hear, and he's completely deaf. And so he came back to my friend and said, will you pray for my baby? And my friend, in conversation, said this to him. He said, look, he said, you believe in Jesus now, don't you? And the man stopped. And he said, yes, I do. I believe that was his salvation experience. That's the moment he confessed Jesus as Lord. That's the moment he recognized that he is real. Because he didn't have all the information and knowledge of the Bible. My friend never had to argue with him. He just showed him Jesus in such a practical way. Got his child, got him healed. And now he's coming back for his little baby. And then after his salvation experience and the ministry took place, my friend came to the place. He said this, look, I don't need to pray for your baby. Let me teach you how to pray for your baby. He prayed for his own baby. And at the next doctor checked up, the doctor said, well, you know what? Your baby can't hear in this ear. It's just this ear he can't hear in. That's after he prayed. And then the doctor said, look, we need to give further examination. The next room I need to take your baby in is so small that only one of you is going to be able to come in. And the wife was there with the other child, and the husband said, hun, you take the other child, I'll go in with the baby. And in front of the doctor in there, he put his hand on the side of the ear that was deaf and prayed, in other words, spoke with authority directly to the physical problem, commanding that ear to be whole and to open up. And function perfectly, in other words. Real short and sweet. Look how Jesus prayed. Be whole, be healed, be cleansed. No long prayer. Right to the point. Be something. Become something. That's what you're saying with words. It's like, be this. Be it. Become it. Become it. You're the one speaking it. Become it. That's just the opposite of the problem. become something. And when he spoke with words, when he had his hand on, immediately the power of God, the life of Christ, wham, was released right into their physical body. Immediately, authority releases power. If you don't understand that and know that, then you'll pray wrong. You would just pray for someone. I never pray for people. I never pray for the sick. I heal the sick. Amen. Because, you see, I learned that from Jesus. That's what Jesus did. Jesus in the Great Commission said, heal the sick. He did not tell us to pray for the sick. He said, heal the sick. It's a different perspective. It's a different focus. And it's like you're attacking the problem, not the person. You're going against what hurts them. And it's just like, look, it's under the curse. And so you're rebuking it. It has no right to their body because they're in Christ. It's trespassing on God's property. That's the way you relate to it. You have no respect for physical problems because they hurt people. You do not put them in a place of prominence as a minister within your heart. And that word minister simply means a servant. We're all servants. And so when it comes to praying for people, you don't pray for the sick, you heal the sick. You release the power of God and kill that problem with the life of Christ because it's leaving their body now. And you look for change. You stay there. It's like, no, it's going to change. You have to refuse to let it stay. It doesn't matter how long you have to stay or how long they have to stay with it, because you see, if a person's having trouble receiving, it's just their heart, that's all. God's not choosing to do something later. It's just the heart of the person. So as long as you're not the problem, stay with it. If you can. An altar call, I can't afford to spend 1 hour with one person. I was one situation where with this guy in the hospital, a little over 5 hours. There's some people who don't know what to do after 5 seconds or 5 minutes. But there needs to be more Christians that come around people with serious problems and get them all the way to Jesus because they know what they're doing and they treat them with respect and kindness and correct and communicate the right things in the right manner in the right way because they know what they're doing. They get them all the way to Jesus so that people don't have with serious problems, don't have to stand on their own. More people's hearts are quit. My friend, though, you see, in front of the doctor, he prayed for this little baby and the doctor went and examined the baby. He's hearing in both ears. He's healed. And this guy was an atheist. But the issues of life, you see, Jesus answered, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it unto you, even as your daughter will," and her daughter was made whole that very hour. Isn't it interesting? A person of great faith was a person who had no serious issues of unbelief. Isn't it interesting the condition of her heart? Jesus, he tested her in every area culturally because you see, as a minister, he's from a different culture and he knows how they relate. They very much know the issues, the cultural issues between them and the strong judgments that's within their heart. And any of those issues had been within their heart, then let me tell you, if that woman, she may want Jesus to do something for her, but if within her heart, it's just like, yeah, but you're still you're still one of those self-righteous Jews. If you can't relate and love others, your heart's not free. If the issue's on the inside to the point that it hinders you, the beliefs of our heart is exalted. In other words, God opposes the proud. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. When it says he opposes the proud, it doesn't change how he relates to us. It's just a condition of the heart. It means you're limiting him because he's giving everything through Christ, but you're making receiving about you, not about Jesus. That's all. It's just a condition of the heart. It has nothing to do with your righteousness. It has nothing to do with your self-worth in Christ. As long as you can look at Jesus and keep your eyes on Jesus and keep your self-worth established in Him, you can resolve any issue of the heart, anything. Nothing's impossible to you at all. As long as you can keep your eyes on Him, your self-worth established in Him. I tell you, but look at the condition of the heart of this woman. Look how pure her heart was, because no one would have blamed her if any of these issues had been on the inside of her. But you see, the thing is this, though. Woman, great is your faith. Faith is the ability for your heart to trust God. That's a practical application of faith to the point, in fact, that you should have confidence, because that's the other part of faith. Some people choose to trust God. Like one time this man came up for prayer. He said, "I believe God can do it." I said, "Well, praise God, brother. You got the first half of the issue down." And he didn't know what I meant. I said, "Well, what do you believe in concerning your healing?" He said, he didn't understand. I said, "Well, what's the problem?" He said, "Well, I got this problem. Are there any symptoms?" "I got this symptom and this symptom." "Okay. Now, the very moment I release the life of Christ in your body, do you believe those symptoms are leaving right now because the problem's leaving right this second?" He looked at me and he thought about it. He said, "You know what? I guess I'm not believing." Because if his heart had to believe that this belongs to Jesus, this is why we were talking about on Saturday morning about Matthew 8:17. 1 Peter 2:24, Isaiah 3:4 and 5, and we focused on Matthew 8:17 to expound on that scripture, because these are all foundational truths. If you don't have the foundation established correctly, you won't relate to physical problems correctly within your body. Because, you see, if there's a physical issue within the body, then do you see yourself with a problem needing to be free? How do you relate? Because Matthew 8:17 tells us, spoken of the prophet of old, speaking of Jesus, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sickness. If he took it, he bore it, then shouldn't that change the way you relate to your physical problems? If he bore it, love relationship with the Father, but he also took, I believe, his love for us. It was enough to bore it, but he took. It's like extra encouragement. It's like, you know what? It belongs to him. He bore it. He took it. It may be in our physical body, but you see, it's what God has accomplished through the Son, and God is a spirit. God's not a human. You don't receive from God like you receive from a human. But you receive in relationship to your heart and how you're believing. And so, in relationship to your human body, that when foundational truth is established in Christ Jesus, it changes the way we relate to physical problems. It's like, you're not mine. I don't even care why you're there. I don't even care if I'm responsible for you being there. You still belong to Jesus. Anything you own will belong to you, and you'll limit Jesus. When the truth is, it belongs to him, but you're finding truth in yourself when you have a human perspective in how you see things. Are you seeing what I'm saying? Great faith is simply a heart who has no serious issues of unbelief. That woman understood everything Jesus was saying. She knew the culture she lived in. She knew the attitudes. She's probably got friends and neighbors with those attitudes that, man, if he did that to me, man, I would let him have it. I'd call my husband and he'd get 10 guys and come over there. And, you know, I mean, they would have some kind of attitude come out of them or something, or some kind of strong judgment come out of their heart. If they treat them, because within them, it would provoke something on the inside, because, you see, it's an issue to them. But it wasn't an issue to this woman. Isn't that interesting? She had the information. She had the knowledge. She knew her people. She knew the culture. But even though he was communicating in a way that would be offensive, look how pure her heart was. A person who's free, and there's freedom in Christ Jesus, because it was for freedom that Christ set us free. We need to identify with freedom. He set us free. We need to stop identifying with problems and determining, now, no, that's the truth. No, truth is found in Christ Jesus. It's not found in our problems. We need to find freedom in him and identify with freedom and know what freedom looks like. And in the imagination of our heart, let the Word of God opened up to us so that we know what it looks like. We can see it on the inside. Your imagination is either going to work for you or against you, because 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5 says it can be vain. We can just fill our heart with the wrong things and have the wrong thoughts, wrong images, wrong imagination, and because we thought on the wrong things, and the heart be exalted on the inside in the condition of the heart where it's just like, well, it's simple. It just simply needs to be brought captive to the obedience of Christ, that's all. It doesn't mean you're a bad person. You're still righteous. I'm going to tell you, you need to understand there's a difference between your spirit and your heart. The beliefs of the heart. When there's the transformation that comes, Romans 12:2, the transformation that comes renewing the mind, there is a change. I'm telling you, when there's a transformation, there is a change. There's a work of the Holy Spirit. That's not something you did yourself in the arm of the flesh. You don't even cast down vain imaginations yourself. If you do it yourself, it's like Christians say, okay, I'm just casting it down, I'm just casting it down. And they wear themselves out silly. It's like mowing the grass. It keeps growing. No, it's dealt with at a heart level, at the root level. It's been brought captive to the obedience. Disobedience is when I choose myself over him. I have a free will. I can do what I want. It's not a child, but it's the choices I make. But obedience, that's choosing him over me, because he's Lord and I'm not. And it has nothing to do with control. It's just this: his ways work, my ways don't. He is Lord. That's who he is. And his ways are really, really good. But you've got to see that for yourself. You can't just accept that as truth because I say it. You need to experience the goodness of God to the point that it proves something to your heart, that you come to the place that you know, you're confident that, Lord, I like your ways. In fact, your ways are so good. I like the benefit of your ways. In fact, that was really, really good what you did in my life. And you clearly see it and clearly understand that his ways are better, because I would have done it like this, and probably the fruit of my ways would have been this and this and this. But your ways are so good. I like your ways. That needs to be proven to your heart. You need to take the time to stop and consider and meditate. so that in the imagination of the heart, with the help of the Holy Spirit, there's a transformation. There's a change that comes on the inside, because we don't change ourselves. It's the Holy Spirit, and He knows His job better than we do. We don't even make Him do anything. We just do our part. We choose Jesus. We start looking at Jesus. We find truth found in Jesus Christ, and He opens it up to us because we give Him the truth of God's Word as we meditate on it, speak it out of our mouth so that our ears can hear what our mouth is saying, not to make Him do something. It's for our benefit, for the Holy Spirit to be our teacher, because we value His voice. We want Him to be our teacher, because it's like every time He is, it's like man, that's good. It's what He reveals to me. He's more Jesus, less of me. Is this making sense?
Yes.
My. Well, I guess, again, I could keep talking and talk longer than you can listen. But praise God. But since it's a Sunday morning, there's grace and there's mercy. Yeah, especially here. Thank you, Lord Jesus. If you're here today and you have an established relationship with God through Jesus Christ, that's number one. That's the most important. Because let me tell you, you can never receive any of the promises. You can blow it in every single area in that sense, and you still win. Because you got a future. You win. You're a winner no matter what. When you're in a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, you just won. The devil's lost. It doesn't matter if your relationship problems never work out. You know, your physical problems you never receive from God. Your financial problems, you know, you have to do everything yourself. I mean, it doesn't matter. If you have Christ, you still win. You're a winner. You're a winner in Christ Jesus. But there's the benefit of your inheritance that begins now and goes right into heaven. You know why the inheritance? Because we're family. Isn't that so good? It tells us so much about His true nature and character, who He is. The fact that, well, think about Christmas time. Think about when we get what we give to our kids and what we do for our children and the satisfaction, the joy we get giving and then watching what the response they get for the gifts. Now, let me tell you, our Heavenly Father knows us better than we know ourselves. He's got things for you, not this life, but the next life. Even when you get to heaven, things waiting for you that's going to be like, wow, I really love that. That is so wonderful. I mean, you're not going to be bored in heaven. If you were there, you wouldn't want to come back. What you would experience would be so wonderful. Man, when my father died, I got a touch of what it was like to be in heaven. And it's just like my friends thought that I wanted to die. I didn't. It's just like I got a touch of what it was like to be in His presence, to be there. And it's like, man, what's waiting for us is wonderful. But we've got His presence on the inside of us now. You need to live like the presence of God is within your body, being the temple of the Holy Spirit, so that in your heart you yield to Him instead of yielding to yourself like unbelievers do. All they have is themselves. We carry God's presence everywhere we go. You're either going to yield to the kingdom of God that dwells on the inside of you, or you'll just stay in control. If you do, you're still loved. But I just encourage you. Choose Jesus over yourself. And let the Holy Spirit be your teacher to prove His ways to you to the point that you'll have confidence. Praise God. If you're today with the issues I've been talking about, the issues of the heart, you know, just take your focus off me right now. I'm going to pray for you. Where will you sit? And then you can come up for personal prayer as well. But if you're here today, even those listening over the internet, I'll pray for you as well. But just open up your heart to Jesus. Take your focus off of me. Just put your focus on Him, because He's your healer. Lord, we give You glory. We give You honor. We give You praise. Thank You for Your goodness. Thank You for Your life. Thank You for Your body, Your blood, Lord, the life that You gave so that we could have true life. I just give You glory, give You honor and praise, and thank You right now that, Lord, within the hearts of Your people, that You, with the authority You've given us, I just loose captives right now in the name of Lord Jesus Christ, that anointing is destroying yokes, bondages are going right now, even over there, even at those that are listening, open up their hearts to You right now, Lord. There's an anointing to destroy yokes and bondages right now. That anointing is setting captives free. Great grace is being released to Your people. Hearts are being made whole right now. I just give You the glory, Jesus, that You're healing people's hearts. You're taking away the hurt. You're taking away the pain. The circumstances that have tormented them, Lord, grace is being released and enabled to build for Your Holy Spirit right now for change and transformation. I just give You glory right now for that beginning of that word's being accomplished right now, Lord, because now Your word can open up to them and get easier because of what they're experiencing for You right now, how You're healing their hearts and how You're setting them free from the circumstances and the issues of life. Now, there's some I just heard, there's some that are here that you're believing very, very specifically that you're believing for more. So you got very specific what you're believing for, and so it's yours. Amen. We just give you the glory, Lord Jesus, what you're accomplishing within them, how your perfection was concerning them, but the wisdom, and what they're desiring, Father, that anointing, it's theirs. Great grace being released to your people, Father. Freedom to the captives right now. Lord, how our hearts have been made whole so we can open up to you, Jesus, and not limit you anymore in that area of our life. Now just release your peace, Lord. Now peace. Peace to guard the heart, guard the mind, to protect us and keep us in the very two areas that are needed and necessary. But that peace starting at the top of their heads, but going right down through their bodies. Peace to guard the heart and guard the mind. From that place of peace, the wisdom that James 1:5 promises, Lord, how they're going to come to know your voice, how they're going to hear from you by your Spirit, Lord, the specific wisdom that's going to be known to each individual, that wisdom that's necessary and needed for the benefit of their lives, Father, how truth is going to be opened up to him because to them, Lord, because of the hunger. Thank you, Lord Jesus. There's a hunger. Someone right now is a guy that's living right over the internet. There's a hunger right now. And the Lord's, it's right now. He's going to fill that. It's yours. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We just give you the glory. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We just give you the glory, Lord Jesus. Now, right now, just give your physical problems to Jesus. They don't belong to you anymore. Disown them. They're not yours. He took them. He bore them. They're not yours anymore. Lord, I just give you the glory. With the authority you've given us, I rebuke physical issues. I command right now, bodies be whole in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. Be healed now. Right now, physical symptoms leave people's bodies right now. We just give you the glory, Jesus. Spines be made whole right now. Straight, strengthened, and made whole. Vertebrae, disc, pads, right now going right back into place and being made whole, functioning perfectly. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And it's got an image of that. I just saw that on the inside. Maybe someone's been touched in that area right now. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, physical issues. It doesn't matter if I spoke it out or not. It's leaving. It belongs to Jesus. That was specific just for whoever it was specific for. But right now, it doesn't matter what your issues are, they're leaving. Don't you own them? It's like, no, they're leaving. That's how you relate to them. It's like, no, the life of Christ is working in me right now, Romans 8:2. It's setting me free now. This belongs to Jesus. No, it's not staying in my body. It's leaving now. And you just look for change. You keep it very, very simple. Look for change. Just keep looking for change because, no, I'm free. No, you're not staying. That's how you relate. You never, never yield to physical problems. You only yield to the law of the Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus, Romans 8:2. You never yield to the law of sin and death. Determine that in your heart. It's like, the way I'm going to relate to life is in Christ Jesus. I'm not yielding to the law of sin and death. Get that deep within your heart to the point that you refuse to yield to physical problems. You're only going to yield to Jesus, His life, His virtue. Your life's going to become about Him instead of you. Get that deep within your heart so that that can be written to the table of your heart so that it becomes a way of life in Christ for you. It determines the way you relate before you think. It's just what comes out. So take the time to meditate on that for the benefit of your heart because the Holy Spirit will be your teacher. You get it deep down on the inside of you to the point that it just you're so open. You're so open to Jesus. You're so open to receive. And there's just an anointing being released right now. People's physical bodies being made whole. We just give you the glory, Jesus. Who's experiencing change right now in here? Very good. Thank you, Lord. Let me tell you, you're free. You're free. Never relate like you have a problem. You need to be free. You don't have any needs. You're free.